Item one, fan base. Ways to increase the American fan base.
What fan base?
The fan base of the band.
Well, you mean Mel.
It's not a fan base, it's just a woman.
Yeah, but I'm calling it fan base from now on. It's just easier when I call, because, you know, you say, oh, the fan will be there. Just, you know, they can tell there's only one person. I'm trying to make it look bigger. It's a base. Put base on the end of it.
That is what we are doing today, people. We are trying to increase our fan base.
Woo!
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. This is episode 27.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
In what has now officially begun to be a long and drawn-out series. This is the Air Raid Podcast. This is the podcast that drops bombs of awesome into your ear holes. And I am your host, Aaron Roden.
Hail indeed. To the king, baby.
Hail to the king. I am the king of my own domain here. My own little podcast, make-believe radio world.
I don't know anything.
Here. And thank you for joining me. We've got a special, special show for you today. Coming up a little bit later in the show, Lynn Shelton, the writer, director, producer of a movie called Hump Day.
I like that
and
movie.
A episode of Mad Men and her new series on MTV.com, $5 cover Seattle, will be joining us for a short telephone interview, and we are so, so excited to have her on. I'm a little bit nervous because, first of all, this is the first time that I've done like a telephone interview on the show, so I'm hoping that everything works out okay. But we will have to wait and see, I guess. I just hope that nothing craps out on me. Because then I would just take that to mean, you know what, you shouldn't be doing this anymore, and I'll just probably stop. That's it. That'll be
heartbreaking.
I've got a little bit of an issue going on right now, and I want all of your help, all of you listening out there. I've got this new, it seems it could be fatal. It could be fatal. A new addiction in my life. It's called Man vs. Food, and it's on the Travel Channel. And every weekend, I seem to sit down and watch like three shows in a row of this guy just stuffing his face with like all manner of meat and unhealthy things. The most unhealthy things you could probably pop into your body. Like for instance, a sandwich with like everything on it, including coleslaw and French fries and a pile of French fries on a sandwich. Now, it sounds really good, and it looks really good, but the problem is that for a person like me, if I were to eat stuff like that, you know, it would just make me even more lazy than I am now, because it would just immediately put me into a food coma, and I don't know how my body would handle that. So, if you have any ideas on this, or if you share the same affliction that I do, and we're not talking about like tattoo print t-shirts here. We're talking about an actual affliction. The addiction to the show Man vs. Food. Please just send me an email, aaron@air-raid.net. And tell me how to get over this, because I cannot stop watching this guy get fatter and fatter. And it you know, the thing is too, is like I'll be totally full, because I have just eaten like lunch or something, or just eaten dinner, and I sit down and I just want to like, you know, veg out for a little bit before we go out or something like that. And that show's on, and I just end up watching it and become hungry again, or want to like shove like ribs into my mouth, you know, like just slathered in barbecue sauce, or even, you know, try to eat myself out of a cave that's made of pizza, you know, something along those lines. But it worries me because when I watch it, you know, like I said, I'm full, but then I see it on TV and I'm like, oh, that looks so good. I want some right now. So hopefully that never happens. And it hasn't yet, but Man, that guy, the guy that hosts that show, I worry about that dude because I think I saw like maybe the first couple episodes of it, and he was, you know, looked quite a bit different than he does now. I mean, he's quite ballooned, you know, since he started that show. And I think they're in like maybe like season four or something like that, or maybe season three. I'm not really sure. I don't keep track, but yeah, the guy has put on some weight, and you know, it's not a good thing when you're eating, like, because he goes, you know, they send him to a different spot every episode, and he goes and like hits up all these like little diners all over the place and stuff, and like, and just chows down on like, you know, the most unhealthy thing that they have on the menu. And then like, you know, that builds up to the, like the quote unquote competition thing at the end of the show, where he's eating like, you know, the biggest meal that this restaurant makes, like a 4-pound meal. Like, you know, that your stomach can only take so much there. And he's, you know, trying to shovel this stuff in. And most of the time he doesn't even complete it, right? So it's like there's no real point to it. It's just he feels like crap afterwards, you know? Or it's like it's either that, it's either like huge, huge plates, mammoth sizes of food, or it's like something that's ungodly spicy, you know, like with habanero peppers in it and like, and the red Thai chili or whatever. But just think about that. Like, they're paying this guy to basically have explosive diarrhea for, you know, however many episodes that he does with the Travel Channel. I mean, think about that. Think about if your job was to basically just be in pain, in anal pain, for lack of a better term, for, you know, that's your job. I hope they pay him well, because that would, I don't know if I could do that kind of thing. Because recently we just bought these, we went to Rendlinger Farms, or I think I'm saying it right, Redminger Farms or Redlinger Farms over in the Redmond area. And I thought it would be a great idea to buy this jar of spicy asparagus bullets, is what they called it. It was just these little chunks of pickled asparagus bullets, or little chunks of, you know, pickled asparagus. And it was, you know, they had habaneros in there, and they were so good, but so, so insanely spicy. And, you know, I don't think I'd ever eaten anything that hot before, but they, you know, when you see these, some of these shows like, Man vs. Food or, you know, some of the other shows that they do on like Food Network and stuff like that, where they talk about, you know, these big like spice conventions or something, you know, like red pepper conventions or whatever. And these people are just all jacked up on like getting the super spicy stuff. And it makes you kind of high. It's weird. It's really weird. Like, I had never felt that before, but after I like, cause you can't stop, you know, once you start eating something like that, you can't stop eating it. So you're just like shoveling this stuff into your mouth, because, when you stop, you know, that's when the pain comes. And, sure enough, the pain does come, but you get this like sense of euphoria. Like, I get all like lightheaded and stuff, but I finished the whole jar. Not in one day, please. Okay. But, and I can only imagine, I'm not going to go into great detail in this, but I can only imagine what the host of, Man vs. Food goes through, either, you know, the next day, after he eats some of this super spicy stuff, because I only ate, you know, maybe, I don't know, 12 of those little asparagus bullets, and boy, not fun times, not fun times at all. Anyway, so now that we got the poop talk out of the way, Christmas is coming, and we already did. I hope you guys listened to our little holiday brew taste test that we did a couple episodes ago. Had a lot of fun, a lot of good beers. But I hope you guys are all getting ready. I tend to not go shopping until the very last minute. And, you know, here's something to think about too, is like, when people get past like a certain age, right? I don't know what to buy them anymore. Like, I never know what to get my parents, and I never know what to get my in-laws, because they're, you know, they're doing well now. They can afford different things. I mean, I don't know. I don't really know. My parents' hobby is like boating, but, you know, I can't afford to get anything for their boat. So what do I do? I don't know what to get them. I guess we just make them stuff, you know, or like take pictures of us and get them framed. My mom seems to always love that. But yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to buy presents for people in general. I just maybe I'm just really narcissistic and I only think about myself all the time, but yeah, I just don't know. I don't know what to get anybody this year. You know, Mairead has told me what she wanted, but is that kind of copping out? Is that kind of like taking the easy road? Like when somebody tells you, oh, this is what I want for Christmas. But I guess, you know, that's the nice thing to do, right? I told Mairead what I wanted for Christmas. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm between a rock and a hard place when it comes to Christmas shopping. Plus, I'm super lazy and I hate crowds and I don't like going shopping. So maybe that's the big problem right there. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, let's take our first musical break here. And we are going to be, let's see, showcasing some tunes from the $5 Cover Seattle show today. That Lynn Shelton directed, and I think she wrote it too, but we're going to have to clarify on that when she comes on. Let's see. There's a bunch of Seattle bands on this show, we were really stoked to see it. I was a little bit, you know, iffy on whether the show would be good because they actually have, like, the bands themselves, these local Seattle bands themselves, are doing the acting in the show also. So, you know, I went in kind of just like, well, we'll see how this goes. But it was so good. It was really good. And I urge everybody out there that's listening to this to go ahead and watch this. And it's going to, it airs on the 15th. So later this week. You can check that out on mtv.com. And I'm still kind of just flipping through here, trying to find a song. Let's see. Let's go with Changin' by the Moondoggies. I think I've played this one before, but they played a big role in the show, the Moondoggies did, and they did a really great job. And last night we were talking to a friend of ours about, you know, that we were doing the interview today, and she said that she might be able to hook us up with one of the guys from Moondoggies, so we might be able to get them on the show sometime in the future. Anyway, this is Changin' by the Moondoggies, and we will be right back. See you in a moment.
Time keeps on changing. Yeah, my time.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that song. Those guys are really, really good. Moondoggies are awesome. I think we've seen them play live a couple times, and you do not want to miss one of their shows. They're a very, very tight band. Very good. Very good stuff. Before we get started here, let's do a quick word for our friends down at Varellen Amplifiers. Varellen Amplifiers, local guitar amp company, all handmade tube amps with tone to please, my friends. If you are a musician, like a bass player or a guitar player, you should really look up these guys, VarellenAmplifiers.com. That's VarellenAmplifiers.com. These amps will make you sound like Jimi Hendrix, although I don't think they can substantiate those comments, so don't hold me to that one. But I own one of these amps, and let me tell you, they are amazing, absolutely amazing. They are built for the road. They're very rugged and built to last. And, you know, if you have a problem with one of these amps, you can take them right back down to the shop, and Ben himself will fix it for you. That's VarellenAmplifiers.com. Check them out. And by the way, on the topic of Varellen Amplifiers, we just went and saw one of my favorite bands of all time, Roy, who... Ben Varellen and his brother Dave Varellen and Mike Cooper, who you all know from Cannon Canyon, and Brian Cook are in. They played a show down at Hell's Kitchen on Saturday night, their band Roy did. And man, it was so good. It was so good. You guys really should go out and check out Roy. Maybe in our next episode with Adam Garcia, we will feature some Roy songs because, man, oh man, it's so good. I love that band. And it's not, you know, I always feel weird about saying that they're one of my favorite bands because I know a couple of them really well. You know, they're good friends of mine. But seriously, like, even if they weren't good friends of mine, that would be one of my top 10 bands, at least top 10 bands, top 10 favorites. Okay, well, one other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about before we get Lynn on the show here is that many of you know now we made our special announcement on episode 26 with Cannon Canyon that we are having a child. We are going to have a baby. We don't know whether or not it's male or female yet. We will actually find that out in a couple of weeks, and I'm super, super excited. But I'm so nervous. I'm getting very, very nervous, people. I'm getting very nervous. And the biggest thing, like I said on episode 26, when we were discussing with Jim, the drummer for Cannon Canyon, who is also on the road to have a baby. And apparently, we were talking to him on Saturday, and he was totally wrong. His wife is at like week 20 right now. So, good job, Jim. And actually, his wife listened to the show and was a little bit ticked off at him for not knowing the correct date that they were on. So that's kind of funny. But yeah, I was talking with him on that show about how I was nervous about like the money thing, you know, the money aspect. And I've been talking to a lot of people at my work about it and stuff, and everybody's like, you know what, it just kind of works out. Like, you're always nervous about it, you're never going to be totally ready for it, but it always just works out. You make it work, right? But that doesn't help at all. That doesn't help me at all. I'm still really nervous. I don't know. I mean, you know, what do you do? Somebody give me some advice here. Email me, aaron@air-raid.net, please. Because I'm freaked out, man. I mean, I think I'll be a good father, but it's just, wow, what a learning curve, right? I mean, you go from owning two cats to owning a human. Oh, that's not good. I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I'll cut that out. It's not slavery here, people. But yeah, I'm super nervous about, like, you know, trying to line up daycares and stuff, because I've also been hearing from some people that, like, you know, you have to line up a daycare right when you figure out that you're pregnant, because living in a city like Seattle, where there's just a shit ton of people that live here, you know, there's also a shit ton of people that have little kids and they all want them enrolled in daycare also. So I don't know what we're going to do. I mean, we haven't even looked into it because I think some of my laziness has rubbed off on Mairead. And yeah, so I don't know. And I know that when we have a kid, like, some of my laziness is going to have to go because that just won't fly, right? I'm going to be a busy mofo when that stuff comes down. Anyway, yeah, please email me your suggestions and your heartfelt emails. I don't know what else to say there. aaron@air-raid.net. Let's go to another song here before we get Lynn Shelton on. And when we come back, we will talk with Lynn Shelton about her Hollywood exploits, and talk with her about this new show that she's got, this new web series that they've got coming out on MTV.com. So we will see you in a moment. And what song should we play now? There's a bunch of different bands on this show. Let's see. I had one picked out earlier, but I don't think I want to play that one. Let's see. I'm like scrolling through. This is great. This is great radio, isn't it? You guys listening to me scroll through songs. Let's go with The Emergency, and we'll play one. I think this is their first album. It's Can You Dig It? And this one's called Girl You Should Have Known. And this is a really good song. Yeah, so The Emergency, local Seattle band, featured in MTV's or Lynn Shelton's $5 cover Seattle. Girl You Should Have Known. And we'll be right back with Lynn Shelton. Thanks a lot. Lynn Shelton, welcome to the Air Raid podcast. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
It's a real honor to have you on. We just watched the MTV PR people sent us all the episodes of your newest venture here, $5 cover Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And we really enjoyed it.
Oh, well, I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah, yeah. So what went in, how did this whole thing get started for you?
It got started when I went to Sundance in January 2009, 2 years ago, with my feature film, my third feature, Hump Day.
Right.
And I was approached a couple days later by David Gale, who is a producer at MTV. He's the head of their new media division. And he was very excited to tell me all about a project that he thought that I would be a good fit for, and I didn't know anything about it until he approached me. But Craig Brewer, who is another independent filmmaker out of Memphis, and had made a film called Hustle and Flow that MTV Films bought.
Right, right.
Just before, he had created this. He had come up with this idea of sort of painting a portrait of a city via its local independent music scene. And he had a bunch of friends who were musicians and thought that they were really interesting characters and they had really interesting lives, and they, those lives and characters would be good, you know, basis for a little narrative piece.
Right.
And it would also be an interesting way to incorporate, sort of reincorporate music into the MTV landscape, you know, because MTV's kind of lost touch a little bit.
Totally, totally. Now, did that first one, because there was the $5 cover, that was Memphis, right?
Yeah, so that was the first one, was $5 cover Memphis, and they really liked how it turned out, and so their idea was to go to other cities and try to find a similar scenario where they'd find, instead of bringing in, you know, a filmmaker from, a director from New York or L.A. and bringing them to Seattle and, you know, having them paint a portrait of Seattle, they wanted to find somebody who was local to the scene and really, you know, really of that area and able to paint the portrait in as local and authentic a way as possible.
Right, right.
And so they were sort of on the hunt for the next city and the next filmmaker, and they saw Humpty and felt like, I'd be a good fit. Once, especially, they looked up my website and saw that I'd done some music videos, and they were like, oh, she clearly loves music, and thought I'd be a good fit because I incorporated improvisation into that film, into Hump Day, and Craig Brewer had done the same thing. It's a good way to work with non-actors because if you let them speak in their own words, it tends to be a little less stiff than making them memorize written lines.
Right.
And so we saw that I was comfortable, you know, working in that way. And
cool.
And the more he talked to me about it, I have to say, I wasn't sure at first, both because I wasn't sure that MTV and I would be the best fit, and I also wasn't sure that I wanted to do a web series, and I just wasn't, I wasn't convinced. But once I talked to this guy more and more, the more I talked to him, the more excited I got about it, because, and he was very, he was completely true to his word. He gave me complete creative control. It was a totally local production, so I got to hire all my friends. And I got to delve even deeper into the music scene that I love, and you know, and become friends with all these new great people, and it was really, really, really fun.
Well, it looks like you guys had just a fantastic time doing it too, especially the bands also. And I wanted to ask you because this all took place what, like a year ago? You guys did this in 2009, right?
Yeah, it's been sort of painful that it hasn't been out until now, but I am very happy that it's finally coming out. But yeah,
right,
we shot
it
in August of 2009. Yeah.
Yeah. And now, because you stated just a little bit ago that Hump Day was kind of done more ad lib. It didn't have like a real.
Yes, exactly. We had an outline and knew what was going to take place in all the scenes.
Right.
What was going to take place in the movie. But the actual dialogue was all improvised. So it was
okay.
You know, the actors, it was the actor's own words.
Right. And now, is that how you kind of conducted the $5 cover then too?
Yeah.
Really?
Exactly. Yeah. And there were some scenes that were a little more written than others, or I found that I would feed lines, you know, sometimes, like I suggest more. So there actually are lines that were originally on paper. But I really, it was just a jumping off point, you know, and I said, don't feel like you have to stick to these at all, you know, and we would sometimes work together to find moments, but a lot of times it was just completely off the cuff in the moment, and it was really fun to see, you know, people who had never acted before, and some of them really took to it. Some of them were real naturals.
Right. Well, and we noticed that too, because I'm going to be completely honest with you, like, when we first heard about this, I was a little bit skeptical about it because I saw that, you know, the bands themselves were the actors. And so I was super skeptical going in, and we watched it, and after we watched the first episode, and each episode is like what, like, you know, tops like 9 minutes long, right?
Yeah, not even that. I think they're somewhere between 6 and 8 most of them.
Okay, right. I think I was thinking of like the last episode because the credits roll and the credits took a long time.
Oh, that might
like
be.
That.
Yeah.
But yeah, we watched the first episode and it was like, holy shit, this is great. This is really, really good. They did really well. And by the way, you can swear on this because there's no FCC regulations on the internet. So
okay,
yeah, don't feel bad that I just said the SH word. Yeah.
Okay.
But
I'm really good. I'm glad. I'm really glad.
Yeah, it turned out really well, really, really well. And I'm a little bit afraid though that after this comes out, when does it air? It airs on the 15th, right?
Yeah, I think it launches on Wednesday. Yeah,
right. Okay, so it's coming up soon. One thing that I'm a little bit worried about is because we have gone and seen a lot of these bands, and now we're worried that once this thing hits, that it'll be even harder to get into one of their shows. So thank you very much, Lynn, for messing that part of my life up for me. Right. So how did you go about picking the bands that you wanted on the show?
Well, I decided with my version of $5 Cover, I really wanted to concentrate on a few things: the creative process itself. You know,
right.
I'm a non-musician. I mean, I love to sing in the shower and at karaoke bars, but.
Well, we'd love to get a tape of that, actually, if you have something available.
Well, unfortunately, there's a little bit of footage of it in John Jeffcoat's documentary of me. John Jeffcoat is another great filmmaker. He lives another great filmmaker. He's a filmmaker in town. I didn't get myself a compliment. He's a friend of mine, and I asked him if he would make the documentary. So there's this series called Amplified, and he makes a documentary about each of the bands. They're really wonderful, and they've actually
screened
at Seattle International Film Festival and around different places. And he made one about me, and there's this whole karaoke section. The whole crew, like, had to get out their yayas, you know, their musical, like, you know, closet rock star.
Right, yeah, totally.
By doing a lot of karaoke during the shoot. So unfortunately, there's footage of that. But at any rate, oh my God, I totally lost my train of thought. So I wanted to show the creative process because as a non-musician, I'm really fascinated by the ability to write and perform songs. And I also wanted to, I really wanted to illustrate this sense of community that I had detected among my musician friends, the folks that I did know. I would go to see, I'm a really big fan of The Light. And
yeah,
I would go to their shows, and I noticed a lot of that they were kind of musicians, you know, and that they, a lot of other bands would show up to their shows and be real super bands as well. And I loved the interaction that they had. There always seemed to be a lot of mutual support, and also if there was competition, it was like raising the bar in a really healthy way. It was like, wow, they're really bringing it. You know, we've got to bring it too. And, you know,
right. Yeah, totally.
Like a very positive vibe. And it actually parallels what I had seen in the film community in Seattle as well. And it's just something that sort of warmed my heart. And so I wanted to really illustrate that. So I started with folks that I already knew, and the people in the band, in $5 Cover that I knew before were Sean Nelson, who's a buddy of mine, who was the one who actually introduced me to The Lights. And then The Lights. And I sat down with them and I said, okay, what are some other, musical things that are going on in the city? What are some other bands that you know, that you hang out with, that you're friends with, that you've helped support or helped support you, that kind of thing. And really developed it like a documentary. And along the same lines, I also asked, where are your favorite places to perform? And where are your least favorite places to perform? And what are some stories, you know, if you tell me? And that was how I developed. So I think Sean led me to The Lights. The Lights led me to the Moondoggies. The Moondoggies led me to the Maldives. The Maldives led me to the Emergency. They led me to Champagne, and Champagne led me to Be Satisfaction.
So it's basically just how the opening graphic is for each of the episode. That's how you kind of found out about all these bands and how you chose them.
Exactly. I really wanted to show. In order to get on the roster, I wanted I knew that there was no way that I could possibly represent the true diversity of what's going on in Seattle. There's just hundreds and hundreds of bands and all different, you know, variety of kinds of music. But I at least wanted to give a bit of a smorgasbord of some diversity, right?
Right. And how it kind of all works, how it kind of all comes together and how it all works. Yeah, that's, and it, I think it captures that really well.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. But I also wanted to show that I also wanted each of the bands to be somehow organically connected
to
other acts. And sometimes there's like a link of, like T-Cozy, for instance, were that were newer to the scene, right? And so they, and Troy Nelson was kind of the link there. So he works at AZ Street, and he's DJ in KXT, and he's their manager, and so he was able to, like, you know, I wanted to show what that what that's like to getting to know new bands and how
you
hear about them from these. So yeah, anyway, there were various ways, but I wanted there to be some organic connection. Before I let a band in, I needed to figure out a way to organically connect them to the other bands that were already, you know, somebody that was already in the, in the show.
Yeah. So, and one thing I wanted to ask you, because you hit on that a lot of these things that you've done have all been kind of improvised, like the dialogue between characters and things like that. So how did you find, because you just got done, you just directed an episode of Mad Men.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and so how...
My first feature film is called We Go Way Back, and it's actually going to be, it hasn't been released in on DVD or...
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Broadly, but I acquired it with a buddy from the production company that originally produced it, and so that's actually going to be coming out, too, in the next few months, and it features actually... a very local soundtrack, and it was a much more traditionally made film in that I had a script that I wrote and dialogue that was pre-written and we rehearsed it, and you know, and I found that whole process a little bit frustrating. Just, I know there were a lot of different things that made it difficult for the actors. A lot of it was just a large set with a whole bunch of scary equipment, and you know, most of the actors were. They're all from the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Fantasizing about creating a really actor-centered set, one that would be oriented towards just putting the performers at ease. Just to enhance the naturalism, you know, in a very organic way, instead of only being able to use incredibly skilled actors who, you know how to turn on the naturalism in front of a.
So,
camera.
I mean, did you direct the episode of Mad Men like you've done like Hump Day and that?
No, not
this
at
was
all.
It was all scripted and.
That was completely old school. Yeah, very old school, and it was like my film school. I never went to film school, so I was in the theater as an actor, and then I was a photographer. I went to MFA Department of Photography. I got an MFA in photography. And started doing experimental videos and sort of art films that was my introduction to filmmaking, and then was an editor. And I worked as an editor on a lot of narrative, sort of traditional narrative pieces, shorts, and a couple of features. But my first experience on set was actually as a director was actually on the set of my first feature, and it was like, oh, this is so weird. This way of making movies is great. You know, this is a thing that. You know, but no, Mad Men was completely by the book, and I was just there to fulfill. I was like a member of the crew. You know, I was fulfilling the vision of the creator, Matt Weiner, and was very, very, you know, made sure that I was just trying to channel him, basically, on set to the best of my ability.
Right.
We did everything the old-fashioned way. So it's good to know I can work that way, too.
Jacqueline of all trades.
That's right.
Yeah. So would you say that you definitely enjoy kind of the creative process of doing movies like Hump Day and your latest project, $5 Cover? Do you enjoy it more kind of having that freedom then?
Well, it's really...
Than sticking to a script?
More difficult in a lot of ways as a filmmaker because you actually have less control on set, which is... good and bad. I mean, I'm a control freak, so it's always difficult. But I find that the more collaborative that I am, the more rewarding it is ultimately. And I always get the edit room. The edit room is great because that's where you
kind of see the
gateway, you know, of the thing. And you can really make. I mean, the whole point of editing is you make everybody look great. You know, everybody else. Who has already collaborated on the project. So right now I'm editing a film that I just directed in a very similar way to Hump Day. It was very, very collaborative, and it was all the dialogues improvised for the most part, and it's very, it was a very similar thing. I'm also in development on a project with Focus Features, which is based on a novel, and it has an actual script. And I'm not sure how much will go off script. You know, I'm not,
right.
I don't know. It may be much more traditional. The only reason I came up with working with this in this way was just to try and create a better piece of art. And if I can do that with a script that, you know, and also because I didn't want to sit. It's not my forte to sit alone in a room and write a script that's kind of tight as a drum and has just perfect, beautiful dialogue, you know. So it's
asking
the actors for help, you know, to create more naturalism. But whatever works, you know, if I have a really beautifully written script and actors who can work in that way, I'm happy to work that way too.
Totally,
you know?
Yeah. It seems like, you know, in watching like the extras on what MTV sent us here and watching the extras on Hump Day too. I mean, it makes it kind of a more interesting process too. You know, like, there's a lot more freedom. It's a lot more kind of, it's not, I don't know, all business suits, you know? You know what
For
I'm trying
sure.
to say?
And, yeah. Yeah, and we found that Recover, it was really, I think it was a really helpful thing.
Right.
Again, because they were all non-actors. And if I had, and it was based on, you know, they really are playing themselves. And
right,
so if I
right.
tried to say, here is how you should speak, it would have been ridiculous, you know? I mean, I wanted to hear them speak the way they actually speak, you know, and the dynamic, you know, like between Jason Dodson and Kevin Murphy, for instance, who are actual
right.
friends and hang out a lot, and there's this sort of dynamic they have between the two of them that I really wanted to capture, and so, you know, letting them just chat the way they would actually
uh-huh,
chat
uh-huh.
and trying to create an atmosphere that was as low-key, as you know, chill as possible.
Right,
you know?
Right, yeah.
You know, so the crew is really carefully vetted as well. They're all people that I've worked with for a long time, and I know they create this. They know how I like to work, and that, you know, and they know how to put actors at ease. And it's a very small footprint, you know. It's not like an enormous, scary bunch of people. And so, it is. It's really fun. It's a really fun, relaxed, relaxed but focused.
Yeah.
Way of working.
Yeah, we've had you know quite a few bands come on our show here, and I've found that working with bands like that are that close together, that go on tour together and everything like that, it's
mm-hmm.
almost like sometimes with a couple of certain bands that I have in mind, it's like herding cats to try to get them to really kind of pay attention and work with you sometimes. So did you find that with some instances, or? You don't have to go into too much detail, but
on occasion. But really, for the most part, I have to say they were all pretty great,
right?
And you know, very, they were all really engaged and kind of excited.
Well, that's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, yeah.
So what's you mentioned this new project that you're working on? I know that you're busy, and we probably got to wrap this up here pretty soon. So. I just want to ask you really quick about what's in the future for Lynn Shelton, and what can we expect to see coming out here?
I'm editing a film now that's, again, sort of Hump Day style in that it's very we just shot it in a couple of weeks, and it's very sort of a domestic chamber comedy with two sisters and a guy who kind of comes in between them. The guy is played by Mark Duplass, who is also in Hump Day, and the sisters are played by Emily Blunt and Rosemary DeWitt, who was actually on Mad Men, the first couple of seasons.
Oh, cool.
Of Mad Men.
Very cool.
Strangely enough. Yeah, and they were all fantastic, and we shot most of it in the San Juan Islands, and so we're hoping that comes together in the next couple of months, and then I'm not sure what we're going to do with it, you know, if we'll take it to a festival or I don't know exactly what we're going to do with it, but I'm really excited about that project. And then, and then I have another project called Then We Came to the End. It's based on this novel, and...
This is the one for Focus Features?
That's the one for Focus, yeah.
Cool,
and so we're
cool.
in the process of casting, and we're just getting offers out. So I'm not sure what the schedule will be, but probably shooting in the spring sometime.
Okay, so you haven't gotten to casting this one yet?
Yeah, right. We're still kind of in the earlier phases of getting it up on its feet.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Jean-Claude Van Damme. Turn it into like a put a cyborg in there. You know, it doesn't even have there to, you know, I mean, you can work with it. You're smart.
Totally. Yeah, karate, some, yeah.
There you go.
Some martial arts fights. Yeah, absolutely. Throwing a few ninjas.
Oh, everybody loves ninjas. Come on, Lynn. Work out great. Well, Lynn Shelton, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate your time.
Well, thank you, Aaron. I really appreciate you having me, and thanks for watching and liking it.
Oh, it was lovely. So you can find the new series on Wednesday. It's going to be on MTV.com, right?
Yeah, I think if you just Google $5 Cover Seattle, it'll have its own dedicated website.
Right, right. And where can we find out about new stuff coming our way?
I guess my Facebook friend.
All right. Yeah, we can all be electronic friends.
Exactly. We can all be electronic friends.
Okay, Lynn, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a real treat getting to talk to you here. And maybe hopefully sometime in the future we can get you back on in person and I can feed you drinks and we can really get to the heart of who you are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't realize what I was out on. For sure. Next time I'll see you in there.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, folks. That's our interview with Mrs. Yeah, it's Mrs. She's married, right? Mrs. Lynn Shelton, writer, director, producer of all things awesome. The movie Hump Day, which did really well, I think, at Sundance Film Festival in 2009. We just loved the heck out of that movie. And I wish I could have talked more with her about that because it was such a good one. Also, an episode of Mad Men that aired recently she directed, and you can probably check that out on like imdb.com or something like that. And this new web series that's coming out on mtv.com on Wednesday, the 15th of December, this week, that you all really should check out. It's very, very good. Won't take much of your time. Each episode is about, you know, what we were talking about, like 8 minutes long or so. And, it's super, super good. Of course, check out all the bands that are playing, on that show because awesome bands. And, most of them I think are really going places. So check them out while you still can. And let's go out today with the Maldives, Cold November. I know that we've played this song before. Also, an incredible band to see live. So they've got like 80 people in the band, I think, like playing all sorts of different instruments, banjos and ukuleles and keyboards and guitars and all sorts of different stuff. Yeah, you guys should check that out. And hopefully sometime in the future, we'll get Lynn Shelton back on the show to talk about, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme movies, because I think that would be a fantastic show, don't you? I mean, it sounded like she kind of likes ninjas, so whatever. But yeah, just a sweet lady, man. She is super, super nice, and I hope you guys enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed interviewing her. Yeah, so thanks for listening this week, you guys. Next week, episode 28... we'll be with Adam Garcia, our resident techspert, who's going to bring some stuff on the show that we can all look into buying for our significant others and family members and friends for the Christmas season. So make sure you tune into that because that's going to be super fun. And of course, you can find us air-raid.net on the web. Stream our episodes. All of our episodes, they're all archived on our website. You guys can go there, check that out. Check out our friends. We've got a button, a web button, internet site button for our friends down at Varel and Amplifiers. You can find that there. Also, email me with your suggestions about how to get over my addiction of Man versus Food. Please, God, I need to stop watching that show, but I can't. I can't without your help. Aaron@air-raid.net. You can also find us on Stitcher.com. Which is also a website and a cool app for your smartphones, iPads, computers, everything that is now taking over our lives. Zune Marketplace, you can get us there. And yeah. Find us on we're on Twitter too. I keep on forgetting to mention that. And our handle for Twitter is Air Raid Net. So check that out too. You can friend us on that one. Follow our tweets and on Facebook. Okay, guys. Well, we'll see you next week. Hope you have a great one. And yeah, thanks for listening.
Because